Welcome to Living the Adventure with your radio host, George Runyon. I'm so glad you have joined us tonight. Living the Adventure and our program that immediately follows this broadcast, Three Guys and a Mic, is hosted by City Church Ministries. All of our radio team is so blessed to be affiliated with godradio1.com. And may I suggest that you invite a friend to join you in listening as we learn together from God's Word. Tonight we begin a new series in the book of Ephesians. I believe it will be a great adventure for all of us. Before we begin our study, let me say how much our team has appreciated Bob Huff as he has taught God's Word over this last year on GOD Radio 1, and we've been working together for about 4 years. It has provided a great foundation for our follow-up program that we call Three Guys and a Mic, where we have sought to understand the lesson for the day, dialogue it together, and give expression from the experience of our Three Guys team to practically apply God's Word on a daily basis. We will miss Bob, who needed some time off. The team will continue with the same enthusiasm and spiritual insight as before. We will be adding others in the mix who also will bring to the broadcast wisdom that God has given to them over the years of service to our great God and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is George Runyon, and I'll be your radio host on Living the Adventure, and I trust you will continue to participate and be involved in the listening audience. Now, please invite friends to listen, and please share your comments on Facebook during the Three Guys broadcast that follows Living the Adventure. We can't always comment on everything that's said or answer questions, but we do take note, and we thank you very much. Now join me as we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us from God's Word and help to ground each of us in the truth as we seek to follow our Lord in our daily walk. Father, in Jesus' name, together we come boldly before the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, your word is so precious and so wonderful. But we must say that without the help of the Holy Spirit, we're not able to really understand and apply your word as we ought to. And so, Father, we come in Jesus' name asking for that assistance of the Holy Spirit who you promised. And we thank you that, Holy Spirit, you are with us. We thank you for how you do guide us and how you do help us. And tonight we're trusting you as we study your word. And we ask you to open our hearts and give us great understanding of those things that we study tonight and how to make application in our own lives as we walk out our Christian walk before you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Now let's take a few minutes to be introduced to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. You might or you might not be familiar with Ephesians, but I can guarantee that you will not be disappointed as you are renewed in this book or are exploring it perhaps for the first time. The epistle of Paul to the apostle to the Ephesians, as we see the in an introduction tonight, that Ephesians is addressed to a group of believers who are rich beyond measure in Jesus Christ, yet living as beggars, and only because they are ignorant of their wealth. And really, that's not unlike many today. They may know a few things here and there, but many do not know the wealth that is contained in God's Word, the riches that He wants to give to us in His Word, and to help us to be able to walk out these riches and these blessings in our daily life. Now, just a quick overview. In chapters 1 through 3, Paul describes what God has provided and reserved in heaven for every believer. It's like a bank account, if we can use that analogy tonight. One has to withdraw what has been deposited in the account. And as we consider chapters 1 through 3, they'll reveal the content of those things that belong to the believers. Let me just name some of those things that we're going to look at. Adoption. We've been adopted into the family of God. Acceptance. We're accepted in the beloved. Redemption. We've been purchased. Forgiveness. Wisdom. Inheritance. The seal of the Holy Spirit in our life. Grace and citizenship in heaven. Paul's summary is really expressed this way, that in every spiritual blessing, get a hold of that for a moment, as we're introducing Ephesians, in every spiritual blessing. These spiritual blessings will be highlighted and discussed as we go through our study. But God is a God of blessing, and he wants us to be blessed with every spiritual blessing that he has provided for us. Now, when you move into chapters 4 through 6, the believer begins to learn of our spiritual walk that is rooted in his spiritual wealth that he's provided. Back there in Ephesians 2:10, Paul makes this statement, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works." Wow, we need to explore that. When we get there, we're going to see what is Paul talking about. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, we are to walk in those good works. We're to live out those good works. And we need to find out what those good works are. What's God talking about? There's a lot of people making great effort, but it's not in our effort. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in the work of God that God gives us. And so we're going to be looking into that as we go through the book of Ephesians. Now, we were created to walk in good works as his life is received and operates in and through us. In chapter 6, we learn that it's a battle to walk out his kingdom purposes, because we're wrestling against spiritual forces. So the spiritual blessings are in heavenly places, but there's also spiritual forces that are set to resist us and to hinder us in this walk. And our great privilege is to learn how to deal with those spiritual forces and overcome them in the overcoming life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in our own strength, not in our own ability, but in the overcoming life of the Lord Jesus. Now, although this book is titled To the Ephesians, it was really meant to be a circular epistle or letter to the churches. In other words, the truths that are contained here are eternal, and they're meant for all believers to know and to understand, so that they might fulfill God's will, lived out in his new creation of the Spirit. That creation is the new man, a new man that's in the earth, fulfilling God's will and living out God's life. Now, we'll get into this as we get into Ephesians, but I want to say it right now, that divisions and all of the things that separate us, it's really a slap in the face to God, because what God has done is he has given us a whole new creation in Jesus Christ. If we've been born again, we are a new man, a new woman in Christ, with the life of Christ. And that's why unity is so important, is because we're one new man, not a bunch of new men, one new man in Christ, where God has been able to, in Christ, bring together the human race. And we're going to see that as we go through this book. I'm so excited to get into those areas and explore in the weeks ahead. Okay, well, in Ephesians 1, and we're not going to get any further than verses 1 and 2 tonight, but it's a good start. It'll be a good springboard. And then after the program this evening, stay tuned in if you're able to do it, and listen with us to our discussion time with three guys and a mic, where we'll be dialoguing about these principles and truths that we've spoken about this evening. Now, Paul establishes his identity as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Let me say something about apostle. Apostle was not a title, but a gift from the chief apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sent from God. See, the word apostle means a sent one. Jesus is that sent one. He was sent by God the Father to all humanity, principally first to the chosen people, the covenant people, Israel. But God didn't stop there. There was a remnant of those Israelites that believed in the first century, but God took this gospel not just to the Jew, but to the Samaritan, who were half-breeds, and then not just to the Samaritans. Though, as we see in Acts chapter 10, he took it, brought it to the Gentiles, and they too believed, and the Gentiles and the Samaritans were added to those Jews, making one new man, one new holy nation. Well, we'll be looking at those things as we go through Ephesians. Now, Paul was sent by Christ Jesus according to God's will, is what it says here in this verse. This became evident we studied through the book of Acts over the last year. And hasn't that been a rich time together if you journeyed with us through the book of Acts? And how we appreciate Brother Bob's leadership and setting the stage with questions for us to discuss and evaluate as we went through the book of Acts. I certainly was strengthened and encouraged by our time together. Now let me just read this. I should have done it, and I jumped ahead in a sense, but I want to read these two verses in context so we really track with what I'm saying here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those are the verses that we're looking at. Now, talking about apostles, not only is an apostle a sent one, but he also lays the foundation for the church Christ is building. This is so important to understand. The apostle isn't a title. It's not simply a position. It is a statement of one who is sent, but there's purpose in the sending. And that purpose is found in the apostle having the architecture, the material understanding of what it is that Jesus himself said he would build. When he said in Matthew 16, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's a master builder. The apostle's an architect, one who has the plans. Oh, this is so very important to understand. In today's spiritual atmosphere, there are many who call themselves apostles. As I work with leaders across denominational lines, I find that very few, I know this sounds critical, but I'm just giving you my observation. I find that very few understand what an apostle truly is called to do. He is not necessarily leading a big church or has a network of churches, although he could. A true apostle touches the church, not a church, but the church. He helps restore the church. to the doctrine of those first apostles. Not the reformers of the Reformation, but the apostles that the Father gave to Jesus. Now, let me digress just for a moment and say, the Reformation I'm grateful for because God began to restore principles of truth through men like Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith, and the priesthood of every believer. That understanding came through Luther and his desire to see the church come back to what God originally intended. The Anabaptists brought us believers' baptism. The Wesley brothers, they were known for the messages of holiness, right living, and the holiness movement came out of that. And all of these things are very pertinent and very important. But what we do is we split over those things. Some people put more emphasis on holiness than they do on justification by faith. And then there's those who put so much emphasis on grace, they take it to an extreme of what the Bible is actually talking about. And many of these things have divided the body of Christ down through the centuries. But God is moving. He has been moving. And he continues to move. Because God is uniting his church and bringing us all the way back. See, the reformers didn't take us back far enough. God is bringing us back to what the true apostles of the Lamb taught us. The word that they carried, which was the word of Jesus, that Jesus had received from the Father. Those apostles were given to Jesus by the Father. The apostle is gifted to be prophetic. He's gifted to be evangelistic. He's gifted to pastor. He's gifted to teach. He's a foundation person. He's a servant. He's not a top-down CEO, okay? So if we can get that clear in our mind, the apostle is a foundation man, and he comes in humility, comes as a servant, but he also comes with the authority of heaven. Just like Jesus the servant, but he carried all the authority of heaven. And even though it didn't look all the time like Jesus was in charge, he was in perfect control. He was in perfect charge of obeying and fulfilling his Father's plan, his Father's purpose. Those apostles of the Lamb were the same way under the direction of the Holy Spirit. They were persecuted. They were stoned. They were killed. It looked like this thing was out of control. But I want to tell you, God's purposes were in perfect order. God dealt with and did what he intended to do. He brought the word of the kingdom to those apostles, but he also brought the word of judgment. Eventually, Israel, that rejected their Messiah, was judged in 70 AD. Jerusalem was destroyed. The whole system was taken apart. And Jesus, who was in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, was establishing a whole new administration and a whole new view of what God's intentions were in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, we're going to get into all of that as we go forward. All right, well, let's continue in thinking about these verses here. Now, I want to say that I do not want to take radio time right now to go too deep into this subject of apostles. We will look deeper into the subject, both in the second chapter and the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. But for now, please consider with me that Paul and the other apostles of the Lord were the ones given the wisdom of God to unfold what the Bible calls the mysteries hidden in the Old Testament. Through that wisdom given to them by the Holy Spirit, they lay the foundation of the Lord's true apostolic church. Those apostles carried the Lord's design for the church that he intends to build. Not what we're building, not what we want to build, but what he intends to build. It was never about them. It was never about the apostles. But it is about the Lord's kingdom purpose. Today, One of the ways we can judge true apostolic ministry is by discerning whether the message and the messenger is fully focused on Christ and not on the messenger or his ministry. Apostolic gifting is needed today to help God's people come back to what the apostles of the Lamb, including Paul, understood to be God's will and purpose. Much has been lost in 2,000 years of church history. But the Lord is moving by His Spirit to restore and establish His holy apostolic church in the earth. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm not talking about, let's say, a label, okay, apostolic. I'm talking about what Jesus is producing is a holy apostolic church, a church that's set apart to His purpose, a church that is intended to be sent. Sent can be you, can be your family, it can be your neighborhood, it can be your community, it can be on the mission field. But we are all called to serve His purpose, and we're sent to people. We are His apostolic church in the earth if we are submitted to His eternal purposes and His plan. As we'll see in going through the study, the book of Ephesians is critical in helping us refocus on the Lord's plans. This letter to the Ephesian Christians is essential in grounding us in biblical truths that will help each of us to live out the adventure of walking with Christ in the 20th century. Paul is writing to the saints in Ephesus that he calls faithful in Christ Jesus. Oh, how important that is. Are you faithful? Am I faithful? There's a measuring stick. What would Paul say if he was writing personally to us? Do we fit the classification of saints? Look at the word Paul uses with the word saints. Faithful in Christ Jesus. I believe this to be the best definition of a saint. Faithful in Christ Jesus. You know, Revelation 2 holds the keys to understanding Paul's use of the word faithful. Listen to what Jesus says about the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2. He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have preserved and have patience, persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Now, Jesus had some corrective words as well. We won't get into that right now. But I wanted you to see these, how Jesus viewed this church and why Paul could use the word as he does, faithful. Now, in verse 2, Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is known as the apostolic greeting. God's will for His children is grace and peace. As an apostolic foundation is the grace of God being extended. An apostolic foundation is the grace of God being extended. That's the bottom line. That's the foundation. God's gift. God's grace, that gift was Jesus. All that comes with Jesus, that's the foundation. And the foundation is the grace of God being extended. Not just once, but continually. Grace is a flow of God's love to His people. It's not a one-time experience. It's an ongoing favor of God. Some call grace unmerited favor. It's like being adorned with precious jewels as saints. We are expected to wear the grace of God by being gracious toward all, even those who have not received God's grace. We are to be carriers of His grace. Saints of God are called to be the true demonstration of God's grace to a lost and perishing world. Grace is about the life of Christ in us, lived out through the power of the Holy Spirit. That means that grace is the means to holiness or living a holy life. Catch that now. That's grace. It's the means of holiness, the enablement to live a holy life. Listen to this. The second word is peace. The result of grace is peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Faith, grace, and peace all work together from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the love that the Holy Spirit brings. Well, we've covered a lot here tonight. Let me just give you a quick overview. What we've learned tonight, what are we talking about? We're really talking about identity. Identity is of a critical importance. It's by God's will. Paul had the grace of an apostle. His wisdom came by the Spirit of the word of the Lord. It was never, number two, it was never about the apostles, but the Lord's kingdom purpose. We learned apostle is not a title, but it's a calling to be sent, in Paul's case, to the Gentiles. We saw the early apostles laid the foundation for the Lord's church in the earth, not reformers, the apostles. Over 2,000 years, much has been lost, and the church has been denominated and fractured. The apostolic today is to focus on the recovery of what the early apostles of Christ taught and built. The Ephesian saints are a model for us of what the Lord expects his church to look like, how to function together in a locality or a city, and to discern true and false apostles and the entire fivefold ministry gifts. Oh, beloved, it's been so good to be with you tonight in this first broadcast that I've led, and I'm looking forward to the days ahead as we continue to study the book of Ephesians. And listen now tonight, following this program, will be three guys on the mic, and we'll be discussing many of these things. And I want to encourage you to pray for us, and if you can, help us financially so we can have the finances to stay on the air and begin to continue to bring the gospel of the kingdom of God to those that are tuned in, and also those who maybe do not know Christ and have an opportunity to come to know him. You can drop us a line at CCM, City Church Ministries, at P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, 92195. God bless you, and have a great week in the Lord.